When workers in meatpacking plants started getting COVID-19, it didn't take long to disrupt the flow of beef from ranch to plate. A lot of ranchers say that's because the meat industry is too concentrated. Four big companies control more than 80% of beef processing. When their plants slowed down, there weren't enough smaller competitors to pick up the slack. So supplies ran low. That got the attention of consumers, and the retail price of meat went up, even as ranchers saw their prices stay low. South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds says it's a pivotal moment because the pandemic is shining a new light on old problems.
Now we've got growing support for some things that we've been working on to improve for our producers and ultimately for American families, the consumers.
Rounds compares the situation to the 1950s. That's when Russia took the lead in the space race with a satellite called Sputnik.
If you believe like I do that this pandemic should serve as our Sputnik moment, our reality check, we need to seriously modify the way America facilitates its food supply chain.
If things change, it'll be a repeat of history. A century ago, five packing companies controlled up to 75% of the meat industry. Federal regulators investigated. They said the companies were working together to keep livestock prices low and meat prices high. The companies didn't just slaughter animals and process meat. They owned things all the way up and down the supply chain, from the stockyards that sold cattle to some of the stores that sold meat. The federal investigation led to a threat of legal action. So the companies took a deal. They agreed to break up their sprawling operations and focus on meat processing. That was in 1920. The next year, Congress put more teeth into those changes with a landmark law called the Packers and Stockyards Act. Over the next several decades, the big companies lost market share. They were down to 30% by the 1950s. But it wasn't just government intervention that changed things. Historian Bill Warren at Western Michigan has written books about the meat industry. He says the big packers built their empires on rail connections in Chicago. Then, smaller packers took advantage of a new mode of transportation and built plants closer to the animals.
And in the 20s and 30s, what really helped with some of this decentralization was the growth of the trucking industry. Increasingly, farmers shipped by truck, and that allowed, you know, trucks can go anywhere. They don't need to be on rail lines. So the smaller packers really benefited by this decentralization of the transportation part of it.
But the heyday of smaller packers and more competition didn't last. In the 1960s, Warren says a company called Iowa Beef Packers was founded.
They figured out a system in which you locate in really small towns out in the middle of nowhere where trucks could still deliver livestock to plants, and they could really cut costs. They adopted new technologies in the plants themselves.
By the 1980s, the cost cutting included recruiting immigrant workers. The IBP model swept the industry. Packers that adapted it started buying up and merging with competitors.
And the industry has basically, over the span from the early 80s to the present, has reconcentrated to a degree even more extensive than it was at the turn of the 20th century.
In the past 40 years, packer concentration has been investigated, subjected to congressional hearings, and litigated. But not much has changed. SDPB sought interviews with the big four beef packers. That's Tyson Foods, JBS, Cargill, and National Beef. We also contacted two meatpacking trade groups. They all either declined interviews or failed to respond. Bill Warren, the historian, says meatpackers and their lobbyists will resist reform, and he says they might use a predictable argument.
As long as consumers want cheap meat, then you're going to have these economies of scales that really only these super large packers can provide.
But farmers and ranchers say they're losing hundreds of dollars on every animal they sell. Senator Round says it's time to fight.
Situation is getting more dire each passing day. And now because of COVID-19, well, it's impacted the ability of our processing facilities to operate fully. Even more livestock producers are reaching the breaking point. We've got to fix it, and there are a number of steps that we can take.
Some of those steps are underway, and Rounds is involved. After the pandemic disrupted the meat supply, he and other politicians asked for investigations into packers and price manipulation. The U.S. Departments of Justice and Agriculture have started those probes. Rounds is also co-sponsoring legislation. It would require that meat packers buy at least half of their cattle on the open market instead of through private contracts. He says that would cause more competitive bidding and ranchers might get better prices. Some ranchers support labels on meat that tell consumers what country it comes from. They say that would discourage packers from importing cheap foreign beef. And politicians want more direct sales from ranchers to consumers. Currently, if a South Dakota rancher uses a local locker to process beef, the rancher can't sell that beef across state lines. South Dakota officials are seeking permission from the federal government to allow that. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper in Rapid City.